Well, I don't know if this is your first podcast or not, but you're doing pretty good. Okay, like staying like relatively close to the mic. So yeah, we got pretty good levels.
I did stand up comedy for 20 years.
So that's what we. That's what
the
I was.
The Bob and Tom Show for 12 years.
Yeah.
This podcast of the Bourbon Pursuit is sponsored by the folks at thewhiskeywash.com, a lifestyle website for people who always make sure they have whiskey in their life. Not because it gives them style, but because it gives them life. Thewhiskeywash.com.
Absolutely. So I guess let's talk about maybe some of the, because there's a lot of brands in Heaven Hill. I mean, there's a lot, out even outside of whiskey, right? But we'll focus on whiskey. And let's talk, I'll name one off and you kind of just give me a small little fact or tidbit about, like.
There's one I want to know about.
Go ahead.
Probably
you go
Tom
first.
Peters. I want to know about this.
That's a new one on me.
Oh, really?
I don't know that one.
It might be overseas then. A friend of mine has given me some Tom Peters.
Was he overseas?
No, it's from Heaven Hill, I guess.
Yeah. Well, these are – regardless
– stump the chump on a question.
Regardless, we have Daniel Stewart that's overseas. There's Mark Twain, some of us around. Some of those are all little regional brands.
Yeah.
And I don't even know them all.
Right.
So we don't have any emphasis on – Tom Peters. That's easy to say. That's going to be our standard recipe. And then you can look on the label. If it says it's 36 months old, that means it's 3 years old. And whatever proof it is, that's what it's going to be. If it doesn't have an age on it, it's 4 years old and whatever proof it is.
Right. So let's start off with the easy one, Heaven Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you think that's easy?
Maybe. I don't know.
But there's a lot of different Heaven Hills.
Yeah.
Heaven Hill's awesome. It's one of my favorites. But if you come to my house, you're
going
to get the 6 year old bottle and bond. I mean, the bang for your buck. We don't want to tell too many people about this, right? But it's a very thing to be very cool brand to be proud of. First of all, the name of the company's on the label. The company was started, made the first barrel December 13th, 1935, which was a Friday. So Friday the 13th is very lucky for Heaven Hill. And if you watch Forrest Gump, that is the Gold Label, which is a four-year-old bottle and bond, which was a regional brand up in New York and New Jersey. We had some of it down around this way. Of course, Kentucky had everything because the company's from here. But when Lieutenant Dan is drinking in Times Square in New Year's Eve, and he rolls up and says, "I'm here to be your first mate, Gump," he's got a bottle of Heaven Hill, four-year-old bottle and bond. So, and trust me, we did not pay for product placement.
That's pretty awesome.
In that movie. But the six-year-old has got two more years of age on him.
Right.
And so that makes that product the second oldest age-stated bottle and bond on the planet.
Cool. All right.
And it's $12 a bottle.
Yeah, I know. That's the real secret. That's the kicker right there. So Henry McKenna.
Henry McKenna, my favorite whiskey that we make. So that is my absolute favorite.
Bottle and bond.
It's bottle and bond, which is going to be one of my favorites. But 10 years old, I think that is one of my sweet spots. You know, I'm pretty big between 8 and 15 years. And then over that, starts getting out of my wheelhouse. And younger than that, I like younger too. But that really seems to bring out a lot of great barrel notes for me, 8 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Who was Henry McKenna?
Henry McKenna was an Irishman from the County Derry. And he came over to the United States in the 1830s. And he knew how to make whiskey. Obviously, he came from Ireland. That's where they had it. But he was a miller, so he ground the grains for his neighbors. Because he was on probably down near Harden's Creek, probably right where Jacob Beam and the little creek that goes through Maker's Mark, that's Harden's Creek. So you had to be on a creek with the wheel well that grind the grains for your neighbors. And like many people who got into distilling, they would trade. They would barter. He wouldn't say, you owe me this much money because I just ground your grains up. He would keep a percentage of that grain. And then he was going to make whiskey. He's going to make money out of it because he's going to make whiskey from it. So he got into business and he started making whiskey in 1855. And then he brought his friend over, Patrick Sweeney, I think was his friend, who 2 years later came and kind of ran the distilling operation. But his sons stayed in the business. It was a brand. It was a big brand. It was around after Prohibition, obviously, when we bought it. I'm not sure what year that Heaven Hill bought it, but it's a great brand. It's a single barrel. It's the oldest age stated bottle and bond on the planet, and it's a single barrel. There's only one other single barrel bottle and bond out there, but it's not $30.
Right.
And this is $30.
Exactly. All right. JTS Brown.
I'm sure you all know because most guys know, but that's from the movie The Hustler. That's the brand that Fast Eddie Felsen drank. When you ever watched the movie The Hustler?
I haven't, I
oh
guess.
Oh, my.
Yeah, man.
You're going to lose your guy card here.
I know.
But he's so when Fast Eddie Felsen, who's playing Minnesota Fats, so he is when they're playing, they start to get serious. They play for like 14 or 18 hours, and you have them playing. They want to get serious, and he says, "Who's the actor who plays Fast Eddie Felsen?" Jackie Gleason plays Minnesota Fats. You know, he says Jackie Gleason's character, Minnesota Fats, says Preacher, his nickname of the guy. Preacher, here's a couple dollars. Go down to the tavern, to the store. Get me a bottle of white tavern whiskey, a glass, and some ice. He wore a three piece suit and a carnation. He looked great all the time. And Paul Newman's character says, Fast Eddie Felsen, hey Preacher, here's a couple dollars. Go get me a bottle of JTS Brown. No glass, no ice. He just drank it out of the bottle.
Nice.
And, of course, when he did the remake of The Color of Money, he was the sales rep for JTS Brown. But JTS Brown, the best name, that's kind of what brought it, brings it. We always get calls on JTS Brown after that movie plays. But that's John Thompson Street Brown. See, JTS Brown.
I love – this is my favorite part right here. I just love naming these off and learning these new things.
From the Brown family. You know, that's
That's a pretty prominent name. Let's go with one that I might stump you. Rittenhouse Rye. Where did Rittenhouse Rye probably come from?
Well, that's Philadelphia. So that's, rye whiskey had its, rye is available in New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland. That's where you had these rye distilleries because you make whiskey from the grains that grow around you. In Ireland, Scotland, it's barley. They didn't have corn in the old world. It's a new world grain. So they use barley. So they're barley based. Canada, a lot of rye. You know, that's what we get our rye from, most our rye now from Canada because it grows anywhere. It's a grass, but it just happened to grow better in the north. So, Canada, New York, Maryland, Pennsylvania. So that's rye whiskey becomes kind of their evolution. Like we evolved because we had corn. We have a lot of corn around here. We have a lot of wheat. That's where you find wheat getting into the recipes. That's the first 2 years, Henry McKenna made what we would call a wheated bourbon. Just like W.L. Weller was making in 1849. He put wheat into his recipes. Then you have – so you have all that in that evolution too. So you just have – you use what's around you. And Pike's in Pennsylvania was known for rye.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brand started right after Prohibition. I think that it was 1937 when it finally came out. By 1939, 1940, it was a bottle and bond product. Because that's what you wanted to be, was bottle and bond. So just even like when Heaven Hill started, they had their first bourbon was Bourbon Falls. It was a two-year-old, so it was a straight whiskey. It was important, a straight whiskey, not a blended whiskey, because that's the stuff that could have the iodine and all the stuff added to it. So that word straight was pure, nothing but pure water added to it and aged for at least 2 years old. So that was the goal. That's what made you different than Seagram's or Hiram Walker, the giants of the world, who had Seagram's 7 and Seagram's 5 Crown, and which eventually one of those became VO. VO was Seagram's. Eventually they had a 1964 launched a little brand called Crown Royal out of that. Okay, so those were blending houses. They were like going against Warren Buffett and Donald Trump. You know, you don't want to go up against the monsters. So here in Kentucky, we made straight whiskey. Like, we'll let them have that. We want straight whiskey. And, you know, Bottle and Bond's going to be the what we want to go for. So Rittenhouse became a house, household. There was a lot of rye whiskey in Pennsylvania and mm-hmm. Maryland. Mm-hmm. And from that, we had our new Pikesville that just launched, which is a
very nice one of them.
So Pikesville was a brand that's been around since 1895. So these are brands that we acquired when everybody else was going out of business. People were selling out, you know, because there was a glut of whiskey after the Korean War. And there was a glut. So, in time, look at the oil prices today. There's a glut. So who ever thought we'd see $1.90 gas again ever?
I think I saw $1.60 the other day.
How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what happened when there was a glut. And that's when like, the Beam family had to sell out in the 60s. That's when Hiram Walker purchased Maker's Mark. That's when, in 1981, that's when Stitzel Weller goes out of business. Okay, and we're still around. Because they didn't diversify into other spirits. Our family diversified into other spirits. So that's how important it is to diversify. And that's why everybody sells vodka and everybody sells rum. But for us in Kentucky, the heart and soul is bourbon. If you, it makes no sense to make bourbon or rye because it's so expensive.
Yeah, it's a long term for your return on.
You
your
can make rum today, sell it tonight. You can make vodka today, sell it tonight. You have to have passion for it. So we spend $51 million a year in wood at Heaven Hill before we make the first drop with barrels.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make economic sense.
Make sure that ROI is there. You're,
and then you got to
the angel seed round, right? Like nobody's going to take you serious.
And then you got to wait 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. And so you got to sit on that. And then you lose some every year. I mean, it's not a business model that anybody would sit there and go, I got to get into this.
All right. I've got three more, just only because I'm very interested. J.W. Dant.
J.W. Dant, Joseph Washington Dant.
Yet another bottle.
Dant Station, Kentucky. So Joe, and that was a big brand that he started in 1834. Six, and his sons kept that bit going ran the company after Prohibition too. I think his sons did. So J.W. Dant is a great cool old name. Another label that we have, we have it in a 4-year-old 80 proof in some markets. It's a bottle and bond in markets too. It's a regional brand, just like JTS Brown, just like Heaven Hill Gold Label, just like T.W. Samuels. Those were redundant brands. They were all same age, some of the same proof, but they were available in certain parts of the country. People said, what's the difference in them? Well, I guess you can say they're a small batch. They were different dumps, but they're basically the same whiskey, but they're regional brands. So that's why we chose, when we have a national bottle and bond, we made it Evan Williams white label bottle and bond. We just launched that 3 years ago because you can only use barrels that were put up in one season for bottle and bond, because it's the Eagle Scout. It's the most restrictive. You can't feed five bottle and bonds that are 4 years old, 100 proof. You got to pick one. Evan Williams, number two selling bourbon in the world, we went with that.
Yeah, right. Makes sense. Yeah. There you go. All right. I know.
Connecting right. dots here.
Yeah, really? Okay, so the Bottle Chase brand, Parker's Heritage.
Mm-hmm. Well, that came out because, Parker, his birthday is in September, and the Bourbon Festival is in September, so that's when the release is for Parker's Heritage. And because he's been in the business for 56 years, we'd honored him, and he and Craig and Denny and Charlie, those barrels are, we have projects aging right now. Because when we came out with the 13-year-old, the original year of the wheat whiskey that Craig made, we always hold some barrels back. Because it could be a potential Parker's. So you got to think about these things 10, 15, 20 years in advance. So every year it's a different expression. And so last year was when we came out with an 8-year-old malt whiskey.
Malt, yeah.
Who's got malt whiskey and who's got 8-year-old malt whiskey? We do.
Yeah.
and that was our sixth recipe that we had. So we have things aging that are other recipes and other things, and all of a sudden we'll come out with it, and it'll be 8 or 10 years old. How did you do that? Well, we've been doing this a while.
Yeah, got some uh-huh. secret stocks.
And Parker
in the
had
back.
great insight and foresight to do that, and the family, it's become one of our most influential brands.
I believe so. All right, last one's a fun one: Fighting Cock.
Fighting Cock, great old brand too. That is a brand that came out to poise against some. I boil our philosophy, and I don't know if our owners would agree with this. I think I've kind of asked them. They kind of do, but I boil it down to longer, stronger, cheaper. So you find the category leader, you age it longer in the barrel, you put it stronger in the bottle, and you charge less for it. So you don't find a lot of stuff.
That seems really backwards, doesn't it?
I think. We're still here. Yeah. So Fighting Cock, obviously, was going up against Wild Turkey. So Wild Turkey, Fighting Cock. Wild Turkey's 101. Fighting Cock's 103.
Right. Just got to play the game, right?
Cheaper.
All right. So then the last one I guess we'll talk about, since the cat's out of the bag, let's talk about Elijah Craig and dropping the 12-year age statement. Mm-hmm. We've read all kinds of things that it's going to be a mix of 8 to 12-year barrels now. Let's get your kind of stance on age statements, right? Because I know you kind of have a – you can kind of go and rant a little bit about it, if you will, right?
Well, age statements are important when it's an age-stated product. Age statements is something I've been talking about for a very long time. It's also something that Heaven Hill has more of than any distillery out there. It's changing labels and making changes like this are not easy decisions to make. But sometimes you have to make decisions. And 5 years ago, bourbon was just starting to become kind of a thing again. It was the diamonds that always have been there. But for some reason, TV shows, personalities, the price of scotch and other imported, we're going to $70-$80 a bottle, and here's a bottle of, buy a bottle of Parker's for $80 that's as good as this 25-year-old scotch or whatever it is. You know, so people, you know, we have all these whiskey shows and different festivals that highlight. So it's a lot of building blocks of why it became this huge, big thing. But in 1986, when Elijah Craig launches, it's $9.99 a bottle, and not many people bought it. Because in the 80s, my dad and other people, they would look at that and say, and my dad told me, my dad drank Heaven Hill Green Label 6-year-old, 90 proof, till the day he died. He said, I don't trust a bourbon over 6 years old. And most of expressions that were available were 4, 5, 6 years old. You didn't see a whole lot of old bourbons or old whiskeys out there. If you did, it's because it was a glut in the market. It didn't sell, so you bottle it under a different thing and try to sell it. So back then in the 80s, no one was buying. Very few people were buying Elijah Craig at $9.99 a bottle. And when other companies like Jim Beam and I.W. Harper and different ones had older whiskeys, they were putting them in decanters because they didn't think you'd buy old whiskey. Like my, people like my dad weren't going to buy a 10-year-old whiskey. But they might buy it if it's in a cool collectible decanter. So we're going to put it in there. And if you look at those old bottles, a lot of them will say aged for 120 months or aged for 150 months. So first of all, they're trying to hide a little bit that it's old whiskey. Well, today we'd be bragging about it, but this is a different time. So, and they also know people in Kentucky, a lot of us can't do math. So, you know, they didn't want you to know it's 10 and 12 and 15-year-old whiskey. I have been saying for the last few years, older American whiskeys is a modern phenomenon. And it starts with things like the very special things that Stitzelweller used to do with the very, very old Fitzgerald and this, you know, those were once a year, like we do at Parker's or the birthday bourbons or that, the different expressions, the different distilleries do. But then to have the foresight and Max Shapiro here and the distillers here with Parker and Craig to come out with a 12-year-old age stated 94 proof product that was $9.99. It wasn't until early 90s, 92, 94, that the 18-year-old Elijah Craig comes out. And it kind of shines a little spotlight. Wow, this is pretty good. We had no idea this could be good. I think it was $34.99, 18-year-old. And then a guy named Julian Van Winkle is going around. How else do you think Julian was able to walk up to a distillery and say, I want all your old whiskey. You got anything that's 15, 20, 23 years old, something like that? You know, why do you want it? I want to buy them. How do you think – you couldn't do that today. How do you think he was able to do that back then? Because no one was drinking older whiskey. That's a modern phenomenon. So here he was able to go and just buy hundreds of barrels. And then we're kind of building – it's been since 1986 coming. So it's only been in the last few years people are like really worried about – not worried – really giving more credence to old whiskey. I happen to like old whiskey. Like I said, over 15 – I like the R18. I like 23. It's good, but I kind of like younger whiskey. That's why we make a lot of them. I don't have to like them all. I can appreciate them for what they are. If we've always taken age statements. If you have more of something, you put an age on it before, because they do go bad after a while. After about 25, 27, 30 years, you're not going to have anything left in the barrel anyway. But then it can be, if it's from a top floor, it can be too much oak, too much tannins. That's why all of our older whiskey comes from the first floor, because it's... And we've been making older whiskey for longer than most people, so we can do that. And we know where they store them and stuff. Just because you have 25-year-old whiskey doesn't mean it's good.
Right.
It depends on where it ages. I mean, when Jack Daniels took from 90 to 86 proof and from 86 proof to 80 proof, no one cared. No one even noticed. Until years later. Just a few years ago, Basil Hayden lost an age statement.
Used to be 8.
Didn't hear about that. No one was called names. No one was called liars. No one was called trying to cover things up. No conspiracy. it's only been in the past few years. We have more bloggers. We have Twitters. We have tweets. We have all this pup somehow more under a microscope. And they go, well, you're just trying to make more money. Well, if we were, we'd be charging more than $26 for a 12-year-old product. So you're faced with decisions.
We can't help it. You're drinking it all. That's what you tell them.
Right. So when you're faced with a decision like you have that, you can go the way. You can say we're going to keep. And I've been talking openly about this at all the whiskey shows and everything. Pretend you're a family member or on the leadership team or on the distilling team. You get a vote. You get an equal vote. We're selling more Elijah Craig now than we've ever sold ever. The brand's doing phenomenal. It's doing so good. We're going to run out of 12-year-old barrels. Let's not forget we also have an 18 and 23, so we got to – those barrels become 18 and 23. You just don't all of a sudden create 18-year-old whiskey. So there's going to have to be a decision made because demand is way outstripping supply. This is 12 years ago. We can't – there's that darn time machine we don't have, right? so we can't – so we got to deal with reality and make a tough decision. What are you going to do, Ryan? What are you going to do, Kenny? Are you going to keep it on or are you going to take it off?
Right.
You each get a vote. What would you vote?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty simple thing, right? I mean, if you got to be able to
It's not simple and it's not easy and it's tough decisions, but so let's – what would you do?
I mean, I
What
I
would
totally,
your vote be?
I totally agree. I think that
– No, I'm asking you what your vote would be.
Okay. My vote would be to take it off. And that's only just because you have to be able to keep up with demand, right? The last thing you want to do is just have a complete shortage in the market where it's just off the shelf, right? You still want to have that presence and that brand presence. And at the end of the day, I don't think the quality of the product is going to suffer at all, right? I think it's still going to be the same quality. I mean, it's not like you're sitting there thinking, oh, dear Lord, we've lost like, 20-year bourbons and like they're all gone. What's going to happen? Like, you're right. I think you're totally right. I don't think you're going to see much difference, and you're not talking about $150 whiskey, right? You're talking about something
$26,
$30 bottle.
We'd like
right?
to be up. We'd like to get it up to a little bit like towards $30 to deal with the other aged products that we're competing against in those super what we call a super premium brand, still on the lower side. Let's just say, you would say, I want to keep it on.
Right? I want to keep it on.
Yeah,
keep it on.
So if you keep it on, that's fine. Then you kind of, I mean, we saw what happened with W.L. Weller 12. It goes away. So it's still around. You can still get it, and it's at a very good price. But you got to be on a list.
It's impossible to find.
You got to be on a list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, it never makes it to a shelf. So the brand doesn't grow, and you got to charge more for it because you're not having that growth, and you're not building the brand. So you got to make that money up that you were making before. So now you're going to have to charge $20, $30, $40 in addition to what it was. And that is a total different option to do. You can do that, but that's the ramifications. So at the time you make these decisions and you're going to make someone mad, because if you keep it on,
you can't please everyone.
You're going to be a little upset because now it's $50.
And you can't find
it. And I can't find it. If we take it off, you can still find it, but you want 12.
Yeah.
The difference with we had is we had a unique situation when we were out of the 18. Remember, we had that little fire. And so 18, 19 years ago. So we were out of some stocks. So the 18 went dark for about a couple years, just came back. What we did is we brought products out. Rarely was those just 18 years old. A lot of those were 20, 21, 22, and 23 years old. If you ever look in the back of one of those old 18 bottles, you'll see that that was a minimum 18-year-old.
Yeah.
So that's why we started bottling the 20 by itself and 21 by itself and 22 by itself and 23 by itself to show spotlight that, no, the 18's coming back, but no one believed us. I got a people all the time, oh, you're stopped making it. It's not available. It'll be back. And it came back. We weren't lying. It came back.
Right.
And they don't trust you either. People don't, you're just saying that. Well, and there's all certain things that we're, as the face of the brand, I'm told certain things to say and certain things we got to control this so people don't go out and hoard and people don't go out and, do crazy things. Things are different than they used to be. So we came that, and also we came out with a barrel proof, Elijah Craig, and boy, people really
ate it up.
Love that. And the color is so dark and it's so great. So what we've done is I think, made the best of both worlds. We've got a non-age stated 8 to 12 year old mingle that's going to be the small batch. And we've got a 12 year barrel proof that the age statement's staying on. So we can do both. So if you want Elijah Craig 12 year old age stated, it's out there.
That's how I prefer
it's barrel proof. But it's out there.
And you got to get on a list.
And now you're going to have to live with a beautiful small batch that's going to be $30 and available. So that's what we did. So yeah. You can call us liars.
No.
I've been called liar. I've been called a liar. What is that? But, but it's okay. I did comedy for 20 years. I can take a little heckling. But that's just a decision. It's right. A business decision.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there are distilleries. Stitzelwalder's not here anymore. So there's decisions you have to make that are tough. And we're here to – it's a business.
Well, good deal. So we've way gone over our 30 minutes, and that's fantastic because I think we've got some great content here. Mm-hmm. But we'll finish it up, and I want to just kind of highlight some more things on your personal side. Is you also play a lot of guitar, and you do bluegrass music. Kind of give the listeners kind of an idea of what you do and where you're going to be doing it.
Sure. Well, let's finish up with a little song.
There we go.
Do that. I hooked up with my buddy Hickory Vaught, who's a great bluegrass musician in town. And I've always wanted to pick bluegrass. I've always played guitar. But I wanted to be able to pick bluegrass and be a real bluegrass picker. And this has allowed me to be able to learn how to do that. When I came to Heaven Hill, I was like, well, this is a great opportunity. And we have so many different whiskeys with so many different recipes. I don't know where to start. You know, we have so many different, you know, how do you do a tasting? And I finally put together that we can do a tasting of how bourbon evolved from unaged corn whiskey to aged corn whiskey, wheat whiskey, rye whiskey, and bourbon whiskey that are bottle and bond and a small batch and single barrel. That's the evolution of bourbon, how bourbon became the bourbon that we have today. And so Hickory was like, well, don't leave me out of this. And I want to jump in on this. So we play live bluegrass music from the 1700s, early 1800s, and through. So it's either music from the time period or about the time period that we're playing. So when you're sipping on Mellow Corn, which is an aged corn whiskey, we play a song called Copper Kettle. Get your copper kettle, get your copper coil, fill it with new-made corn mash, never will you toil. Right? So it's about making corn whiskey in the early 1800s. That's pretty dang cool when you're sipping on the product and hearing music from Kentucky about it.
Yeah.
So that's what we do with that, and that's going to be one of the golden ticket things you can buy for at the Bourbon Affair this year.
Awesome.
Is the Bourbon Through Bluegrass show.
Yeah.
So that's fun. So this is a song called Distiller's Row. So when you go to Bardstown, you know, on North 3rd Street there, yep. That's where all the distillers live. So you could go, and the Samuels are next door to the Beams, and there are all distillers around. And when you go to Whiskey Row here in Louisville, different distilleries. So there's 23 bourbons in this song. Yeah, so 23. My old granddad, he passed away, but he lived 94 years to the day. He's laid to rest right up on Heaven Hill with a spray of four roses on his grave. He'd drink a quart each and every day of some good store-bought Jim Beam. Dr. Forrester said, hey, Pappy, now you better cut it down. But then the good doc passed away, so who's to say? So raise a red eye to old granddad. He lived to be an ancient age. That old crow sure left his maker's mark, and now he's drinking with the angels far away. And it goes on from there. But you got to come to the show to hear the rest.
There you go. Fantastic.
That's awesome.
Bourbon Pursuit first.
He's the most versatile guy I've known.
Yeah, I know. How about it? He's everywhere.
Hey, I'm not a master distiller. I got to dazzle him somehow.
That's right. Exactly.
So, Bernie, well, once again, thank you for coming on the show today. It's been a pleasure talking and really picking your mind, picking your guitar.
There you go.
It's really a pleasure, I think, for at least this side of the table.
Well, yeah, thank you.
My head's still spinning from all the knowledge we've got. Still trying to take it all in, so I appreciate it.
Well, awesome. Well, I appreciate your all's passion and spreading the word of American whiskey and bourbon around the world, because you're on the World Wide Web, and I'm going to Europe tomorrow.
So. There you go. Well,
have
good
a safe
luck
flyer.
There.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so if you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Bourbon Pursuit. You can also like us on Facebook. We're all over the social media, so make sure you follow us and talk to us as well, because we're pretty good guys to follow and spread all kinds of good cheer there.
We're interesting. Kenny's better than I am, but we're definitely here. But thanks, guys, and if you have any show suggestions or feedback, we appreciate that as well. So, and we'll see you next time.